I have the privilege of being in many different churches around the world, and I get the privilege of traveling a lot. And also because of my background and the way I first got saved and where I first got born again, Bible prophecy is a very big part of my study. We're not going to be talking about Bible prophecy this morning, but I wanted to encourage you that the times that you and I live in, with all of my heart, I believe that there is two versions of the church. You have on one hand the Church of Jesus Christ that is determined to flow with the Word and the Spirit of God. And then on the other hand, you have the Church of Jesus Christ that is pretending to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Good morning. Good. I preach shorter when you respond. So if you appreciate lunch, smile and laugh. I also preach in a lot of places where I feel like I'm the only one in the room. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not really concerned about that. I've learned that when I preach, it is for an audience of one. True ministry is allowing for the Spirit of God to speak through you, and it is really not for the audience. However, for the audience or the congregation and whoever is there to receive, it requires participation. And sometimes we can forget that, because sometimes we get into the habit of church. Did you know that the habit of church will kill you as easily as no church? In fact, the habit of church is worse than no church. Because those in no church know that there is no church, but those in the habit of church think that they are in church, but they are actually not in church. So let's go back to the prophecy thing again. And so, my heart's desire, my determination, is to flow with what the Spirit of God is doing on the earth in these days. I seek to start no movement, but I seek to be a part of what God is moving in. I seek to begin no new thing, but I yearn to be a part of what God is involved in at the same time. I seek to start no new church, even though we have had the privilege of starting a few churches. But that isn't the goal. The goal is to be a part of the church where God is alive and God is welcome. And so we live in a time, you and I both, where we have that choice to make. And again, this should not surprise us, because when you look historically and scripturally, people have always gotten used to a form of religion. And when people get used to a form of religion, it kills them as sure as having no religion itself. In fact, many times, people with a form of religion hate people with an actual relationship with Jesus Christ, because they cannot understand why those people are so happy. It irritates the enemy, and it irritates religious Pharisees when you appear too happy for no reason. It confuses the enemy when you continually smile and have joy about you. He cannot understand why, and it confuses him. It threatens the enemy. So I have privilege to be around many churches and be around many groups, and I have a great love for the body of Christ. I realize that the body of Christ has many different traditions, and not all traditions are bad. Yes, some traditions are good. For example, Sunday school. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere do you find that where it says on Sabbath, take the kids out and have them in another room, or in your case, bus them out to another place and leave them there. Praise the Lord, parents, come on. You don't find that in the Bible anywhere, but that's a tradition that the church has adopted, and it's a good tradition, isn't it? Because if not, we'd have 100 screaming kids running around the room right now. We don't want the kids running around screaming right now. We want to leave room for you to run around screaming. So some traditions are good, some are not. And it's a funny thing, but I like I said, I do quite a bit of ministry in Asia, but we are in America quite a bit. And I've noticed sometimes that what what allows people to receive in a room is not really just the message that is being preached, but people's receptivity of what is being preached. Can I put it that way? So you can be in the same room, you have 1,000 people in the same room, they're hearing the same message, they have the same praise and worship team, they have the same lighting, they have the same smoke machine, they have the same lyrics, they have the same message, they have the same sermon, and out of 100, a portion receive something from God, and the other half walk out and say, we need to go to lunch, I don't know what he was talking about. Why was that? Was it that when they walked in that morning, God specially favored certain ones over others? Or could it be because when they came to church, some came expecting and some came not expecting? And both got exactly what they wanted. Good morning. Is it afternoon already? Good afternoon. Could it be that when you come to church, you are expected to bring something? No, Pastor, we already gave him the offering. No, I'm not talking about that. The offering doesn't mean anything unless you bring, when you come, expectancy for God to speak to you. In fact, I tell my church back home in Jakarta, I tell them, listen, on a Sunday, we have service on Sunday morning, not Sunday afternoon like you people. Radical. I tell them, I said, why bother getting up on a Sunday morning, getting dressed, driving in that crazy traffic, halfway, and we have people who drive 2 hours to come to church. Why bother doing all of that so that you can come to church and during praise and worship and during prayer, inspect the carpet? Not talking about any of you, I'm talking about other people. You guys wouldn't do other people. It's a funny thing sometimes. You tell them, let's lift our hands and pray, and that's when they start opening their Bible to read it. Let's worship God, that's when they do the carpet inspection. I've noticed that those are the same ones who generally need the most help. Once again, not you guys. Those down the road. Not you guys. No, expectancy has everything to do with what you receive. And my proposal to you is this: that you are already receiving everything you expect. The problem is something. See, no amens on that one. We put too much on everyone else. Well, if the worship team was anointed. Well, if the elders were anointed. Well, if the crazy guest speaker they have, if he's anointed, then God will speak to me. Listen, if you came with your heart to hear from God, even if the sound system broke down, the lights went out, there was a flood, the podium collapsed to the floor, and no one was speaking, you would still hear from the Father. Because the Father does not disappoint you. The Father does not tie your destiny to someone else's doing or not doing. Your Father is your Father. He isn't everyone else's Father except yours. So there are some things you can do to turn the temperature up a bit. Because I want to be hot where God is hot. I want to be in tune where the Father is in tune. And knowing God to be God, it would be unfair for God to place my spiritual destiny at the hands of someone else. Now, don't misunderstand me. God intends for the body of Christ to work as one. He intends for us to have body fellowship and body ministry. That's good and that's right. But on the other hand, you cannot put all of your destiny at the responsibility of someone else. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, and I said this in class past couple of nights, you know, Smith Wigglesworth said, we feed our body 3 hot meals a day and our spirits 1 cold snack a week. Of course, I'm not suggesting that you all preach a cold snack on Sunday morning. That's not what I'm suggesting. But can you understand the point? The point is we are so physically conscious. Oh, we got to eat. And of course, in Asia, we eat more than 3 times a day, don't we? Because we have tea time, then we have supper after that, and then you have teh tarik and all that kind of thing in between thrown there. Oh, talking about teh tarik, did you know? Elder Thomas brought me for
what was that? The teh tarik with ginger in it? Teh tarik Alia. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've had, what? That's right, that's the point. Now, I've had that before. But this place had real ginger chopped inside. When I first drank it, I thought, oh, is there a fly in my... What is that? What is that? So we take care of our bodies real good, don't we? We tend to it. We feed ourselves before we get hungry. Yes? Not just me, right? Once again, thank you, Jesus. We feed ourselves before we get hungry. We plan ahead for our meals. Have you noticed that? You get together with your friends at lunch and you're planning dinner. We do these things for our physical body. And that's why our body prospers the way it does. But the real you, let's turn to our Bibles real quick. 1 Thessalonians. And in some cases, I'll just go ahead and refer to the scriptures and won't actually turn to them. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. How many of you want to be sanctified completely by God? Good. I don't want to be half sanctified, the other half not sanctified. Right? I want to be completely sanctified. That's a good thing. Did you know that God intends for us to be complete? Yeah, God intends for us to be whole. In fact, that word shalom, it simply means nothing broken, nothing lost. Good, good, good. God intends for us to have nothing broken and nothing lost about us. He intends for every part of our life to be complete. Your mind should be complete. Your body should be complete. Your finances should be complete. Your relationship should be complete. Everything about you. If you are a business person, that should be complete also. So he says, but now, may the God of peace himself. I like that. He's doing it himself. He's not having some angel do it for us. He's not having the elders do it for us. He's not having some anointed so-and-so do it for us. He's doing it himself. God himself is working towards my whole sanctification. Good. Now, may the God of peace... Notice that when we read the scriptures this way, notice that I stop at almost every word, and from every word will come a new thought. Why? Because the Word of God is pregnant and alive. We rob ourselves when we read too quickly. You know, I don't throw any stones now, but I know sometimes people have a Bible reading program and they try and finish the whole Bible through in a year. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But did you know that reading and studying are not the same thing? Did you know that studying and meditating are not the same thing? Do you know that you are commanded to meditate? Did you know that memorizing and meditating are not the same thing? Okay, just a little thought. So if you are memorizing, you will get more if you are meditating. Yeah. In fact, you will find many times that memorizing is a bit of a struggle sometimes. Have you noticed that? Yeah. You want to know why it's a bit of a struggle? And again, if you are memorizing, it's okay. It's a discipline. It's not a bad thing. But I'm talking about, you know, let me put it this way. Since this is Asia, let's talk about food again. Watching TV shows about cooking and actually eating food are not the same thing. Is that right? Some of you looked a little surprised when I said that. Was that a deep revelation for you? Now, if you are around food, that gets you hungry. Thank you. If you are watching a TV show about food, that can get you hungry also. But neither of them will fill you until you eat it. So memorizing, studying, all of those are good things. But when you get it in, that comes through meditation. That's why Joshua 1 and verse 8, put your finger there. I'm not going to turn to Joshua 1 and verse 8. That's why Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, but you shall meditate. But in this book of the law, you will meditate day and night. And then you will make your way have good success.
It is a command to meditate, and with a command to do anything from God comes an anointing to do what the command was to do.
Yeah. So go with the flow. If the word says to meditate, don't try and substitute with memorizing. Again, don't go home and throw all your memorizing cards away. That's not what I say. Yes, we are recording this, so we have it on record. I did not say, if you are studying, or if you are memorizing, or if you are on a daily reading program, don't throw all of that away. All of those are good tools, but they are not a substitute for. Can you understand it that way? Good. Let's go back to this again. Now let's try 1 Thessalonians one more time. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He's now going to define for us what completeness is. He's going to define for you and me what it means as far as God is concerned, what wholeness, what completeness means. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this, that he said spirit and soul and body. Notice you are three parts. You are spirit and soul and body. There is divine order in how the word, you are not body, soul, spirit. You are not soul, body, spirit, or any of those combinations. You are spirit, soul, and body. Primarily, who you are on the inside of you right now, you are actually a spirit. That's actually who you are. You dress up the body. And we pay attention to the body. Now, your soul very quickly defined would be your will, your emotions, your intellect. And the direction of your life, listen now, the direction of your life will be based upon the majority of two out of these three leading it. In other words, whichever two gains the majority will be the direction of how your life goes. Your spirit is the real you. Your soul is your will, your emotions, your intellect. And your body is just this thing sitting in front of us right now that will do anything your soul will allow it to do. Have you noticed that? If my soul allowed me, I would want 5 milkshakes every single day. You understand? Now, here's the issue. The issue is, we live in a society that is trained and geared towards the body, and then maybe the mind. Think about the school, a minimum of what? 8, 9, 10, 12 years at least, minimum, usually. And what do we do when we're in those situations? We primarily train our mind, don't we? We educate. Arithmetic and reading and writing and algebra and geography and history and social sciences and humanities and all these good, wonderful things. It's a good thing to be in school, but not at the expense of your heart. Notice the order. Spirit and soul and body. Could it be that we've spent so much time on our body? Could it be that we've placed such a high value on our soul, we forgot our spirit, which is the real you? Well, how do we get our spirit going? I've noticed that when you're around people who are excited about something, they will be gushing and talking about the thing they're excited about. Have you noticed that? If you buy a new car, or if you moved into a new house, or if you just got a new job, or if you just got a new boyfriend, girlfriend. That's all you talk about? Huh? 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 And however, whatever you are excited about affects your faith. Have you noticed that? You very seldom see someone say, hi, what's up with you? Oh, I got a promotion this week. Life is so good. I'm just so excited. Now let's look at the carpet. Doesn't happen, does it? No. There is always an outward expression of an inward work. Well, you say, well, you know what? I just don't feel like expressing anything. I feel like when I come to church, I just want to stand here. cross my hands and look at the carpet. Well, that's fine. You're free to do that if you want. But the problem is, if you do that, you're training yourself to be led by your feelings. And the more you train yourself to be led by your feelings, the more your feelings will lead you. And the more your feelings will lead you, the more you will become a yo-yo. You all know what a yo-yo is, right? It's a little round ball thing tied to the end of a rope, and it bounces up, and it bounces down, and it bounces, this, I'm not coordinated, and it bounces down, and it bounces up, and it bounces down, bounces up. Why? Because people are led by their feelings. But did you know that as believers, we are not supposed to be led by our feelings. We are supposed to be led by faith in what God says. So sometimes, no matter what you feel, you got to do the opposite anyway. That's what believers do. They do on the basis of believing. That's why we're called believers. We're not called healers. If you wanted to be a healer, you don't need to come to church to train to be a healer. You can be, your friends and your relatives who have yet to know the Lord, they are healers. The entire life is based on what they feel. They feel depressed, therefore they are. They feel hungry, therefore they are. They feel angry, therefore they are. Everything has to do with how they feel, and nothing has a guiding principle. And that's why life goes in a wreck. But you and I, we live on a different realm. We live spirit, soul, and body. Not soul, soul, and soul. Or worse, body. Body and body. Let's try Hebrews one more. Because you haven't even started going there yet, right? Let's try Hebrews again. I enjoy what I do. That's the truth. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. Did you know that? It's true. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy traveling. I don't travel as much now. I used to travel a whole lot more. I've been on a plane so much that my thumbs have been dry. That's why I'm having difficulty flipping my Bible. It's actually the truth. Your fingers get very dry when you're on the plane a lot. Don't look at me flipping the Bible. Look at your own Bible. I'll tell you when I'm there. Don't all of you be looking at me. It's awkward. It's a bit intimidating. Everyone's looking at me like that. Read your own Bible. What's wrong with you people? Hebrews 13. Church is a good place to have fun, isn't it? Yeah. And if you don't have fun, don't come. Why? Because if your attitude is not to have fun, you drag everyone else down. Now, I understand if you're new. If you're like 2 years and below coming to church, then neither of you. Amen, is that right? Yeah, but at some point, we have to grow up. We can't be old, permanent babies in church all the time. The Church of Jesus Christ is one of the few places where you can find 40-year-old babies and be accepted. It's the truth. Did you know that? Yeah, come on, let's grow up. It has nothing to do with how I feel. If I went by how I felt, many times I wouldn't go to church. And I'm the one preaching. It's got nothing to do with feelings, no? The just shall live by faith. You say, wait a minute, why are we talking about this? The deal is this. Life is training you, and you are training life. And every day that you and I are alive, we are preparing to either be overwhelmed by a mountain or to move a mountain, because if we move a mountain, there will be a reward behind the mountain that we're moving. And with everything that we do, it's practice time. So how I respond to the waiter who serves me food is practice for how I respond to other people later on. Yes? And how I respond in faith on anyone's small thing or big thing is how I'm training myself for what I need to do when a mountain comes my way. And trust me, mountains come. Did you know that? You've lived long enough, mountains will come. If you haven't lived long enough, your mom will come. But mountains come anyway. And God doesn't promise you a life without mountains, but He promises you the ability to move the mountains. And the more apt, the more able, the quicker, the faster you are to learn to respond to God, the smaller your mountains will seem to you. So I no longer pray for, Lord, have no mountains in my life. I now just pray, Lord, show me the next one so I can conquer that mountain so we can move on and get to a bigger mountain. Because the bigger the mountain, the deeper the rewards. And if you knew what was behind your mountains, you would want to move them. Let's try Hebrews again, one more time. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, therefore by Him, let us continually, continually means more than on Sunday afternoon. Does that what continually mean? Does continually mean only on Sunday, only on Wednesday when you all have that little meeting? No. Continually means, all the time. Would that be fair to say? Continually means? So let's read this way. Let us, verse 13. Therefore, yes, 15. Therefore by Him, let us all the time offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why is praise called a sacrifice? Have you ever seen a willing sacrifice outside of Jesus? Sometimes in some of these countries where I'm driving, I see big trucks with livestock in them. And sadly, I know where the truck is going. And sometimes when I look out the car as I'm driving and I look into the eyes of the animals, I think they know where they're going also. But did you know? I've never seen them looking happy when that was happening. I've never seen any of the cows go, yay, I'm going to be steak. There is a sacrifice to sacrifice. Notice how the writer of Hebrews here says that praise is a sacrifice. That means you're going to do something in praise that you may not want to do. See how you all became quiet when we started talking about sacrifice? You know, the Old Testament tells us that sacrifice, the Old Testament was full of sacrifices. Yes? But then the Old Testament tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Why is that? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Because if you will obey, you don't need the sacrifice. So, obedience is sacrifice. Can you understand if I put it that way? Let's read this again this way and see how it goes. Now look at this. Therefore, by Him, let us continually, all the time, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What is this sacrifice of praise? Look at now. Look, he's going to clear it up for us. I love that God's word is clear. It doesn't leave us room to guess. It tells you right away what the sacrifice of praise is going to be. Look at this. Let us offer to Him continually the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. The sacrifice of praise is simply words. That's all it is. Words. That's all it is. Words. Nothing to do with the carpet. Nothing to do with reading the Bible. Words. He says, so give me the sacrifice of praise. What is the sacrifice of praise, Lord? I want your words. You see, praise, sacrifice, has a verbal action to it. And again, I don't know any of you enough to be talking about any of you. So I'm not talking about any of you. Right? Okay. So we're just talking about everyone else. We already said that. But I wonder why we sometimes feel a need. And I've noticed this, you know. When we started one of our churches there in Indonesia, I noticed this. Some of the people who were the loudest outside of church were the quietest in church. Before church, they were everywhere, everything. They were, hi, hey, ho, hi, ho. But when they came to church, carpet. Carpet ministry. Oh, the fruit of your lips is the sacrifice you give to God. It's required of you. Notice this isn't a suggestion. Notice this isn't a request. Notice this is stated plainly. Bring the sacrifice of praise to God.